not only killed her, but he was also very, very learned. And he had understood by the training of Jiva Goswami all the very confidential purports and imports of the scriptures. And he would explain them very, very wonderfully. And of course, he was the originator of the book distribution program, along with Srinivas Acharya and Shyamananda Pandit. He composed many, many bhajans in the vernacular language in Bengali, in the common man's Bengali, and made devotional service accessible even to the common man. His poems, because they were ordinary Bengali, were followed by everyone, and because they contained the deepest of truths, and because they were so devotional, therefore it had a profound impact on the people at large. So much so that Gaudiya Vaishnavism spread rapidly all over the region, and it even reached a few years later to the distant kingdom of Manipur. And the king became a Vaishnava, a Gaudiya Vaishnava. And till today, the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture is very strong in Manipur. And they sing Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan as a part of their tradition. It's only recently, in the last few years, that there is a certain class of people in Manipur who are rebelling against this Gaudiya Vaishnava culture. When I went there about 10 or 12 years back, there was some new terrorist group that was starting. And one of the main points they had was against Narottam Das Thakur. They said that Narottam Das Thakur came and transformed the whole culture of our place. Because earlier they didn't have much of a culture, they were very local. But of course they have a culture going back even to the Vedic times. Arjuna was there in the northeast, in Assam, and also in Manipur. So Arjuna's queens, Arjuna's wives were also there from there, from Manipur and Assam. But nevertheless, after that period, everything degenerated. And so these people want to go back to the tribal culture. Because after Narottam Das Thakur's time, Gaudiya Vaishnava became so entrenched in Manipuri way of life that every household, practically, they have chanting of these bhajans and so on. And a beautiful temple there, Radha Govinda temple, where all the people of Imphal city gather there to chant prayers to Radha Govinda and also Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans. So therefore we can see that Narottam Das Thakur has played a very, very important role in the Renaissance, the resurgence of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Because after Mahaprabhu departed from this world, from the physical plane, it was the six Goswamis who mostly carried forward his heritage, but they were in distant Vrindavan. And it was Narottam Das Thakur who really created the Renaissance of Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition in Bengal once again. So Narottam Das Thakur is, like many of the acharyas in our line, an eternal associate of Sri Krishna. Most of you are all the associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Gaur Leela, also have their role to play in Krishna Leela in Goloka Vrindavan. And so it is with Narottam Das Thakur. He is Champak Manjari in Goloka Vrindavan. Champak Manjari is an assistant of Rupa Manjari. And as we know, Rupa Manjari is none other than Rupa Goswami in Gaur Leela. And therefore we see that Narottam Das Thakur has composed the bhajan Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, Sri Maratham Pada, a very famous bhajan which was so dear to Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this is his eternal position in Krishna Leela in Goloka Vrindavan. As far as his advent in Gaur Leela is concerned, the Prem Vilas describes a prophecy, a very wonderful prophecy that was made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Soon after Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katwa, he went to Nilachal. He was there in Jagannath Puri for some time. But the desire to go to Vrindavan was very strong. And despite being restrained somewhat by his devotees, he proceeded northwards. But he didn't manage to reach Vrindavan. He had to pass through Bengal to reach Vrindavan, and he reached a place called Ramakeli, where Rup and Sanatana Goswamis were residing and serving as ministers of Nawab Hussain Shah. Now, they were not Rup and Sanatana at that time, they were Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. And after this meeting, it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who changed their names to Rup and Sanatana. After this point, Rup and Sanatana Goswamis developed intense desire to join Mahaprabhu. He went a little further up to Kanai Natshala. And at one point on the banks of the Padma River, or the Padmavati, Mahaprabhu was doing tumultuous sankirtan. And all of a sudden, he stopped and looked across the Padma River into a village that was called Kheturi Gram. Gram means village, so it was Kheturi. And he began to look up and speak very loudly and call out, Narottam, Narottam, many times, again and again. And all his associates were wondering, what is the Lord doing? Who is this Narottam? He must be a great soul who is going to advent very shortly. And he must have a great role to play in fulfilling Mahaprabhu's mission here in this world. And then Nityananda Prabhu asked Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, who is this Narottam that you are calling out for? And Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Lord, you have exhibited your pure devotion in Jagannath Puri on many, many occasions. And whatever ecstatic love you have shown, I have collected it. And now I will deposit this ecstatic love for Krishna in the river Padma. And when Narottam Das appears here in this Kheturi Gram some years later, and when he takes bath in the Padmavati River, then he will also receive the gift of ecstatic love from you through the Padmavati River. So Nityananda was astonished, and all the associates of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda who were there also began to glorify the good fortune of not only Narottam Das, but also of his would-be father and would-be mother, and say that how fortunate is that father who could have Narottam as his son, and how fortunate is that mother in whose womb such a child like Narottam will be born. And then on the way back, once again, Mahaprabhu stopped on the banks of the Padma. The Padma or the Padmavati is actually a tributary or a branch of the river Ganga. It branches off to the east from Bhagirathi. And in the present day geography, the Padma River for quite a distance is somewhat like the border between the Indian state of West Bengal and Bangladesh. So Mahaprabhu once again came to the bank of the Padma, and he approached the river Padma and said that I have deposited this Krishna Prem within you, within your waters, and you should give it to Narottam when he comes to bathe in your waters. So Padma Devi replied that, my dear Lord, I will be most happy to do this small service for you, but please tell me, how should I recognize Narottam when he comes here? So the Lord replied, you will have no difficulty in recognizing Narottam, because as soon as he touches your waters will overflow. So then she was satisfied. And actually, many years later, when Narottam was born in Kheturi, and after he became 12 years of age, Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream and told him that now you go and have a bath in the river Padma. Mahaprabhu had stored the treasure of Krishna Prem for you in those waters, young Narottam Das went there, and as soon as he touched his foot to the waters, the waters started overflowing, and Padmavati Devi understood that this was Narottam. And very heartily she gave the gift that she had cherished for some years to Narottam Das. And from that day on, Narottam Das' life was never the same. We'll come to that a little later. So Kheturigram is the birthplace of Sri Narottam Das. His father was a zamindar, was a landlord, like a king. His name was Krishnananda Datta, and Narottam Das's mother's name was Narayani Devi. Both were actually Vaishnavas, devotees of Krishna, and they were very wealthy. Krishnananda Das had a younger brother called Purushottam Das. Purushottam Das' son was Santosh. And when Narottam Das left home many years later, it was Santosh who became the king of that particular province, of that tract of land. So the birth was very, very auspicious. It happened on this day, the Purnima, the full moon day of the month of Magh. Actually, many important incidents in Narottam Das Thakur's life happened on the Purnima. He was born on Purnima in the month of Magh. He left home, he ran away from home, somewhat like what Raghunath Das Goswami did. There were many parallels in their lives actually. Both were born in very wealthy families. Both parents guarded their sons very zealously. Both sons exhibited tremendous renunciation and devotion right from a small age, and they exhibited a complete apathy towards sense gratification and the material way of life, and even towards the opulence that their parents had given them. So Narottam Das ran away from home on the Purnima in the month of Kartik, and eventually he took initiation from Lokanath Goswami in Vrindavan on Purnima in the month of Shravan. So anyway, it was in this month of Magh that Narottam Das Thakur appeared in this world. For some inexplicable reason, everyone in Kheturigram began to feel a great sense of joy. They could not understand why we are all feeling so happy. And at that time, young Narottam appeared in the womb of Narayani Devi. Krishnananda Datta was overjoyed to gaze at the beautiful face of young Narottam. The word spread fast, and all the residents of Kheturi rushed to the house of Krishnananda Datta, carrying many, many gifts for them to offer to this wonderful child. The child had all the auspicious symptoms of a great personality, and he was extraordinarily beautiful, with lotus-like eyes, and his arms were long, going down to his knees. He had a wonderfully golden complexion, and in this way, he foretold by his very appearance that he was going to do something very wonderful. Even the astrologers were struck with wonder, and they predicted a great future for him. In fact, one astrologer came and said that this child's name should be Narottam, because he would be the greatest or the topmost amongst men. Nara means human, and Uttam means best. So he would be the best among men, and so indeed he was when he grew up. Just as the crescent moon grows day by day to become the full moon, so also young baby Narottam started growing. From babyhood, every passing day he was becoming more and more charming, and the day arrived for the performance of the Annaprashana ceremony. That is the day on which the child is first fed with grains. It's quite a big deal. A big deal is made out of it in the Vedic culture. It's a proper sanskar. As you know, there are many sanskars, a purificatory ceremony in the Vedic culture. And the Annaprashana is also one of them. So the baby was brought there, and rice was brought in front of the child. and kept there. The child is expected to crawl towards the rice to take that rice, and then somebody, some respectable person, is supposed to feed the child with a few grains. But try as hard as they might, this child just turned its face away from the rice. And everyone was in a state of dismay. What to do? This important festival, and everybody has come, and now this child is refusing to take rice. Sometimes in devotee families also now, they have some ceremonies in which they keep the Bhagavatam in the front and they keep money in the front and so on. And the child is expected to go towards the Bhagavatam. Every parent would like the child to move towards the Bhagavatam. And sometimes the child doesn't go. Or maybe the child goes towards the money or to some other thing. And then the parents are very disappointed. So here also, the parents and the elders are very disappointed. Oh, he's not eating the rice. We all gathered here for this wonderful samskar. Then eventually that same astrologer, who was very intelligent, said, don't think this is an ordinary child. You have not offered this rice to Lord Krishna, so therefore he is not taking it. So immediately the rice was offered to Krishna, and immediately the boy, the child, devoured the rice. Very, very happily. And then Raja Krishnananda was so happy that he announced that from this day on, every meal that is cooked in my house should be offered to Lord Krishna before eating. Right. Although they were devotees of Krishna, but sometimes they were not so attentive to these little things. And it needed their own child to teach them to become attentive. And so the saying goes, the child is the father of man. Many times we learn so many things from children also. So we have to be very attentive in our devotional practices. And Narottam Das Thakur was showing all the elders how you must be very particular. As he grew up, time came for the Hathi Khadi ceremony, the ceremony when he holds the chalk. The child is supposed to hold the chalk and then write something on a slate. He taught the first alphabets, letters of the alphabet to write. And like many other eternal associates of the Lord, he exhibited a tremendous brilliance. He was a genius. And everybody, especially his teachers, were astonished at how quickly he learned everything there was to learn that they had to teach him. One thing he didn't learn was mobile telephones. Thankfully. And as he started studying more and more, he developed a great taste for devotional service and also started developing some kind of renunciation. He was always absorbed in Krishna conscious activities. He would worship in private and not pay much attention to his friends who were interested in frivolous sports and games. And as he was absorbed, he would sometimes remember the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he would hear from an elderly Brahmana called Krishnadas, who used to live in Khepuri Gram. He was a great devotee of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And because of his austerities and because of his devotion, nobody would dare to stop him from going anywhere he wanted. And he would come every day to talk to young Narottam. He was so fond of Narottam that he could not avoid meeting him even for a day. And he would spend a long time and he would narrate the pastimes of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, the Adi Leela, Mati Leela, Anti Leela, everything. And then he also narrated different pastimes and the glories of all of Mahaprabhu's associates, like Vidyadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Kashishwar Pandit, and many, many, many others. And the young Narottam would hear all this in rapt attention. And he could not think of anything but these descriptions. And then Krishnadas Brahmana also described the glories of Srinivas Acharya, whom Narottam Das Thakur would meet in Vrindavan some years later and who would become a very, very close associate and friend. At great length, Krishna Das described the glories of Srinivas Acharya. And then after that, Narottam Das Thakur was somehow or the other always hankering to meet Srinivas Acharya. And it is described in the Narottam Vilas that sometimes Narottam would roll in the dust in agony, waiting for the day when he would somehow meet with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when he would be able to join his associates. At this time, of course, Gauranga Mahaprabhu had already departed from this world, so he was not present on the physical plane, on the external plane. But nevertheless, considering his deep hankering, his crying out to the Lord appeared to him twice in a dream. And this is the message, that the more intensely we hanker for pure devotional service, the more the Lord will reciprocate. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam tathaiva bhajamyaham. So according to how one approaches me, I reward him accordingly. If we are lax and lukewarm in our devotional practices and in the intensity or the fervor of our sadhana, in our desire to progress in Krishna consciousness, our progress will be slow. However, if we have very intense hankering and if we are constantly praying to the Lord and His devotees to give us mercy to make progress, then Krishna will certainly reciprocate, like He did with young Narottam. So one time, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared to Narottam Das Thakur in his dream. And he said, Narottam, do not lament, my heart breaks by seeing your lamentation. Do not worry, you will achieve all perfection, all your desires will be fulfilled. Now you must go to Vrindavan, and there you will take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. He will give you the mantra. So constantly chant my holy names and live with the devotees there. You have all my blessings to go on to Vrindavan. So, young Narottam was extremely surprised and happy. Mahaprabhu had now given him a mission. He had told him in the dream, I have a mission for you. Your mission is to spread my message everywhere. And shortly thereafter, he had another dream in which he saw Gauranga Mahaprabhu along with all his associates, many of whom had departed from the physical plane, and they were having tumultuous sankirtan. And Narottam Das, in his dream, was watching all this from a corner. And then Mahaprabhu saw him, and he pulled him into the sankirtan and made him dance. And then he was absorbed in the ecstatic sankirtan, and Mahaprabhu blessed him heartily. He took him to Nityananda Prabhu and one by one introduced him to all his associates who gave their hearty blessings to Narottam. And they said, yes, now Mahaprabhu, our Lord, has desired you to go to Vrindavan, so prepare yourself. So in this way, Narottam was looking for the day when he would depart from home. One day, the king of Bengal called for Krishnananda Datta and Purushottam Datta on some business. Meanwhile, the parents of Narottam Das had already arranged for guards to oversee the activities of Narottam because they were already apprehending that this boy is showing such an apathy and disinterest in material life and in taking over this kingdom that we fear that he will run away from home and go to Vrindavan. So they had guards, just like Raghunath Das Goswami's parents had guards for him. But what can guards do when the desire to surrender to Krishna becomes so intense? And one time, when the king of Bengal had called away his father and uncle, Narottam seized the opportunity and he ran away hastily. And that was the day of Kartik Purnima. And he walked, he first ran and ran so that the guard should not catch up with him. And somehow with great difficulty he continued on into the forest. He did not know what he was, whether he was walking or sleeping, or there was no consideration of anything related to the body. No food, no sleep, no rest. It just kept moving, moving. So intense was the driving force of his desire to go to Vrindavan and meet the associates of Mahaprabhu that nothing else mattered. We can have some glimpse, some very, very tiny glimpse of the intensity of this by remembering the days when we first became devotees. Perhaps at that time, nothing else mattered and everything else became insignificant and we were willing to do anything and everything. It's only afterwards, when it came to Krishna consciousness, that everything seems to be now again, once again, something ordinary, something you're supposed to do. But that kind of fervor, that intensity, perhaps we could have, we had only 1/1,000,000th of a drop of the intensity that Narottam had. But still we can get some idea at least, some little glimpse. So Narottam Das walked and walked and walked. Finally he reached Braj. And he arrived first in Mathura at Vishram Ghat. He took his bath there and he was remembering the associates of Mahaprabhu, particularly Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. And at that time, as he sat there to do Sankirtan, an elderly Brahmana came there and recognized Narottam to be a pure devotee of the Lord. This Brahmana was also a pure devotee. He embraced him. He had brought some prasadam for him. And then they spent the whole night talking about Krishna. So Narottam Das was so tired. He had come all the way walking without sleep. And even now, he didn't say, "I'm so tired, now let me sleep and then we'll talk about Krishna tomorrow." So he all night long continued to converse with this Brahmana. And the Brahmana was very reluctant to let him go. With great difficulty, Narottam Das separated himself. But before that, the Brahmana gave him some news which broke young Narottam's heart. The news was that Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami and also Kashishwar Pandit had departed from this world. Narottam became unconscious in grief. Somehow or the other, he rose and then proceeded towards Vrindavan. As he approached Vrindavan, and he had not yet arrived, Srinivas Acharya, who was then with Jiva Goswami, suddenly was feeling some ecstasy, some happiness which he could not understand. He went to Jiva Goswami and said that, "I am feeling this ecstasy, what is the reason for this?" And Jiva Goswami said, "Narottam Das must be coming. Mahaprabhu has told me that he will come. And he has a mission, Mahaprabhu has a mission for Narottam Das." And so they were both very happy. And after some time, Srinivas Acharya was sitting there meditating upon Narottam, whom he had never met in this plane of existence. And suddenly a messenger, a devotee came to Srinivas and said, "A young man with a golden complexion, very long hands reaching up down to his knees, and lotus-like eyes, he is constantly intoxicated with Krishna prema, and he is melting everybody's hearts with his humility and devotion, has arrived. And Jiva Goswami has embraced him, and both of them are bathing each other with their tears." And immediately Srinivas Acharya understood that this was Narottam who had arrived finally. Srinivas Acharya rushed there, and the meeting between the two is a subject matter of many books. And many of the demigods also were witnessing this. And all the residents of Braj were struck with wonder to see this. And over the next few days, immediately actually, this friendship developed in such a way that it astonished the Brajavasis, all the Vaishnavas living here. It seemed that they were eternally friends, which actually they were. And somehow they had met once again on this plane after a long time. So then Jiva Goswami took Narottam Das to Govindadev temple for darshan. Kashishwar Pandit used to be the pujari there, but since he had departed, Another Gaudiya Vaishnava called Shri Krishna Pandit was doing the seva. So Shri Krishna Pandit also was overjoyed to see Narottam and he embraced him. Narottam was offering his obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and he won their hearts with his humble conduct. And then Shri Jiva Goswami took him to meet Lokanath Goswami. Meanwhile, Lokanath Goswami had already been instructed by Mahaprabhu in his dream that you have to initiate Narottam when he arrives. In fact, everyone in Braja knew that Narottam was going to arrive, although they had never seen Narottam before. The word had spread in the Vaishnav community, Narottam is going to come. Because right from the time when Mahaprabhu had prophesied on the banks of the Padma that Narottam would appear in Khetuli, everybody was looking forward to meeting Narottam. After all, it wasn't for everybody that Mahaprabhu would call out their names before their birth. So everyone understood that this Narottam would be an extraordinary personality. So even in Braj, they were all eagerly waiting. Then Jiva Goswami took him to Bhuvarga Goswami and to many, many other Vaishnavas and he introduced them. Everyone was overjoyed to see Narottam. Then Jiva Goswami ordered Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das to go to Radhakund to meet Raghunand Das Goswami. Das Goswami was also very, very happy to meet Narottam. All these meetings have been described in great detail in the Narottam Vilas of Narahari Das. And it is astonishing to see how the relationship between the Vaishnavas were in those days. Extraordinary humility, extraordinary freedom from envy and malice, something that we can only dream or aspire for, something that definitely should be our aspiration, our goal, that kind of Vaishnava relationships. Eventually, after some time, when he exhibited great learning, Jiva Goswami offered him the title of Thakur Mahashaya. And then he became known as Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya. He became very, very loved by all the residents of Vrindavan. And then Jiva Goswami ordered the three of them, Shyamananda Pandit, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur, to go on to Bengal and do on the first book distribution program. And they had no Sankirtan bus in which to travel. They had no vans, but they had to carry all the books on the bullock carts. And there were some soldiers who came. And they went on to Bengal. Today, Dinabandhu Prabhu will be taking out devotees to Radha Raja Mohan temple. Radha Raja Mohan is one of the original six deities installed by Narottam Das Thakur and Khetuli in the festival there. So devotees can hear about this wonderful book distribution pastime and how the books were stolen and returned. And then Narottam Das Thakur went on to Khetuli to reorganize the preaching there, and he had a wonderful festival, the first Gaur Purnima festival in history. And after that, all the Gaur Purnima festivals have started. He began preaching in Bengal. There was a great revolution of transcendence in Bengal, thanks to Narottam Das. It broke all barriers and misconceptions about caste and creed. Many times, envious caste Brahmanas hatched many conspiracies to harm Narottam Das Thakur and his followers. But each time, Narottam Das Thakur emerged victorious. One time, a Digvijayi Pandit. Digvijayi Pandit means a Pandit who has conquered all the directions, called Rupa Narayan, approached the king of the land called Raja Narasimha and said that this Narottam is spoiling our culture. Although he is born in a Kayastha family, but he dares to accept Brahmanas as his disciples. So we should teach him a lesson by defeating him and putting him back in his position. Raja Narasimha Dev said, alright, so let us go there. So along with Rupa Narayan, Raja Narasimha left with a retinue of followers. Somehow, the disciples of Narottam Das Thakur understood what this the evil plan, and then they themselves made a plan to counter this evil plan. Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was a Brahmana by birth, and also Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, again another Brahmin by birth, set up shops, one a pottery shop and another a shop for selling betel nuts along the way. And when Digvijay Pandit and the king came there to purchase the pots and betel nuts, these two started speaking in fluent, complex Sanskrit language. And they were amazed that even the potters and the betel nut sellers were speaking such pure Sanskrit language, whereas everybody else would speak only the vernacular common man Bengali. And then they started engaging in philosophical discussion and debate with the Digvijay Pandit, the so-called Digvijay Pandit. And they completely defeated him. And the king was thinking along with his followers that such are the disciples who want to speak of the Guru. And then Rupa Narayan thought it to be in his best interest to not risk complete defamation. And he said, I better not go ahead to meet Narottam Das Thakur. He returned. And then Radha Narasimha also understood the greatness of Narottam Das Thakur. In this way, there were many, many pastimes that took place. And they have been recounted in the Narottam Vilas and also in many other scriptures. Today is his appearance day, and we should pray to the lotus feet of Srila Narottam Das Thakur that he may shower his mercy upon us, that we may one day join him in his eternal pastimes in Gaur Leela and also in Krishna Leela in the spiritual world. Today also happens to be Sri Krishna Madhura Utsav. Spring has just begun about 9 or 10 days ago on Vasant Panchami. Vasant Ritu is the season of spring. As you know, in the Vedic calendar, there are 6 seasons, each of 2 months. And the spring season is also considered very beautiful. The 2 most beautiful seasons in the year are supposed to be the autumn season and the spring season. So Krishna performs his Rasa Leela in both seasons. Of course, the Sharad Purnima Rasa Leela is very famous. But in Vrindavan there is also Rasa Leela that is performed in the spring season, Vasanti Rasa. So it is also a very, very sweet festival. And Narottam Das Thakur has composed one very beautiful bhajan called Vasanti Rasa. This is from his Prarthana collection of songs. So it is appropriate that today being Narottam Das Thakur's appearance day, and also that spring has just begun, although still a little cold, we will chant this bhajan. I have only 50 sheets here. We will distribute copies of this. Please share these sheets amongst all of you, maybe 1, 4, 3, or 4 devotees. Someone can give to the back and another can distribute to the front here. Vrindavanaramya sthana
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare. Shri Narottam Das Thakur ki
Jai,
Shri Vrindavan Dham ki
Jai,
Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai.